Do you ever feel stuck, like you're living your life on autopilot? Are you ready to shift into high gear and reach the success you so richly deserve? Welcome to the Play Big Movement podcast. I am your host, Sharon Lecter, entrepreneur, business strategist, and best-selling author. Playing big is not about settling for good enough or being comfortable. It is about reaching your highest potential and achieving your greatest success. Join me in my Play Big movement as I interview top experts in business, money, and entrepreneurship, all ready to serve you and to help you play big, be number one in your field, live your legacy, and create maximum impact. Hello, everyone. Back to this segment of the Play Big Movement podcast. And I'm actually pretty excited with my guest today. No, I'm very excited because I knew them when, and I've been on the sidelines watching their incredible success grow. And they really are. If there's anybody that embodies the essence of the Play Big Movement, being number one in your field, living your legacy and creating maximum impact, it's these two guys, the OOLA guys, Dr. Troy Amdahl and Dr. Dave Braun. And welcome, guys. Thank you so much for being with me today.
Thank you for having us.
So those of you that don't know about OOLA, we're going to talk about this but first I'm going to say these two guys were both successful chiropractors, and they sold their businesses, and they could have just kicked back and enjoyed life, but they had more. And we're going to talk about what that thought process was when they decided to kick out and do something new. But the whole OOLA movement has kind of taken over and in a huge positive way in helping people create excitement and love in their life. Now, I got a written bio, guys, but I care about you guys so much, I don't really want to go reading anything. But they have this bus, and I'm going to have them talk about it better than I can. And they're going all over the country, all 50 states, and talking about people's dreams and how to live a very full life. And they have 7 categories, and I'll let them talk about it. But before we get into that, because they've gone into all kinds of essential oils, and now we just talked about this new company they just started a few months ago that's going gangbusters and OOLA teas. But I want to start with the beginning, the story. So can each of you give me a little bit about your story and that defining moment when you came together to do OOLA?
I'll actually start with that one because it does go way back. It was 1997, and you said we're both chiropractors. I was in my last year of chiropractic school, and we have to do a 1-year internship before we get our doctorate. And I remember talking to the school, I think it was the school president at the time, and I was like, who should I do this internship with? Like, I want to be a successful chiropractor, take care of patients, but I want to be with someone, I want to surround myself with good people. Like, who is the guy? And they said, there's this guy 90 miles away. And I'm like, that's a long ways away. There's a guy 90 miles away, and his name is Dr. Troy, which is Dr. Troy Amdahl right now. And they said, go intern with him. And you're going to learn about business. You're going to learn about how to take care of your life, how to have fun, how to be fit. I'm like, okay, I'm going to look into this. So I drove down, and I met with Dr. Troy. And I said, we kind of interviewed each other, basically. I didn't know at the time he was hiring anybody who would work for free. So I thought, wow, I got the free internship. I thought it was like a miracle. But he was going to hire anybody that with a pulse that walked in that said, I'll just do all your junk work for free. And he hired me, and I started driving down 90 miles every day and meeting with Dr. Troy. And at the end of 1 year of my internship with him, he said, I want to take you to Vegas for your graduation. I thought, oh my gosh, we're going to go celebrate. I'm from a small town. I've never been on an airplane before at this time. Like, I was just focused on school. I was married, having kids. And I'm like, okay, we're going to go to Vegas. We get to Vegas. We walk through the airport. We get in the taxi. First time I was ever in a taxi cab. And he goes, I'm like, okay, where are we going first? Like, I've read about Vegas. I've heard about Vegas. Where are we going first? And he goes, we're going to set goals. I'm like, what do you mean we're going to go set goals? Aren't we going to like celebrate my graduation? He goes, no, we're going to set goals for 3 days. I'm like, that sounds like the most boring 3 days of my life, like to set goals. So I find myself sitting on the floor at the Hard Rock Hotel in Vegas, 1997, with 3x5 note cards in front of me in 7 stacks. And they were labeled fitness, finance, family, field, which is your career, faith, friends, and fun. And he said, okay, what we're going to do day one in Vegas is we're going to understand where we are in these 7 areas, because you can't go anywhere in life unless you know exactly where you are today in the moment. So where are you with your fitness? Where are you with your finance? Where are you with your faith, your field? Where are you in these 7 areas? I did all that. Next day we sat down, 3x5 note cards in front of me again. It's like Mr. Miyagi moments, you know, like looking at this. And I had no idea what was happening. He goes, okay, now you know where you are. Yesterday we decided where you are. You're terrible in finance, 120 grand in student loan debt. You don't have a job. You're great to your wife, but you could lose some weight. You're a little chubby. Like, that's what we found out, right? So I'm like, okay, so now where do you want to go? And this is the first time, Sharon, that I've ever sat there and was like, okay, where do I want my finances to be? Where do I want my career to be? What kind of dad do I want to be? What kind of husband do I want to be? What do I want to do with my faith? What am I going to do for fun? So he wrote down dreams and goals, and he talked about the difference between dreams and goals. And he said at the end of the day, now we're done with step two. Tomorrow we're going to do step three. Step three, sitting in front of note cards again, same thing. And it was seven stacks. And it was, how are you going to get there now? In 1998, how are you going to reach these goals that you wrote down, reach these dreams that you wrote down yesterday? Well, the interesting thing is I went home that next day, and from 3 days ago going, why am I in Vegas at goal setting? It's crazy. I'd rather just be home, to being, holy cow, this is in my hands, a plan, a map for 1998. I followed that plan, started to find success. We met again in 1998 to plan 1999, found more success in all seven areas. By 2001, 2002, I had married. I was on like my fourth or fifth child. Like, I had a big house with a racquetball court in it and cool cars and a dream job. Dr. Troy moved overseas. We lost touch with each other. I was in my 30s thinking, I am so amazing. Look at all this money and all this cool house and cars and kids and wife and everybody. Like, everything's great, right? And where I found myself was like, I don't need to do that ULA thing anymore because I already hit it. I'm 30, I hit it. Like, it's golden. Well, by 2008, 9, and 10, the economy comes crashing down. My finances come crashing down. I lose everything. I go through a divorce, and I found myself living in a motel broke. Like, I had nothing. My cars were repossessed, everything. And at this moment, I was about 3 months into the process where I didn't even have a home anymore. And about 2 a.m, I called Dr. Troy. And at this point, he had moved back from overseas, fully retired, running Ironman, married 20-some years, 4 children, like living ULA, and I was completely out of ULA. Most embarrassing, humbling phone call I've ever made, to call your most successful friend when you're at the bottom. And I just said, this is the real deal. Economy crashed, lost my business, lost my house, lost my cars, lost my wife. Sounds like a country music song. I never said it like that before. And then I said, what do I do? And he said, let's get back to ULA. And I said at the time, I said, if this works for me, we need to somehow share this message with the world. He said, that's cool, but first get out of your mom's beat up old car, get a job, and then we'll talk about sharing with the world. And 2012, 13 came around. My life was getting much better. I had a career going again, had a couple clinics open again. The kids were doing well. And Dr. Troy looked at me, and we're at his lake cabin. He said, so you made a promise. He said, God, if this works for me, we're going to share it with the world. How are you going to do that? And I panicked. Because I said, yes, I'm going to share this with the world. I wrote it down. It was a dream. I wrote down to be a visionary leader, educator, entertainer, facilitator of ULA around the world. That was my goal. I wrote down in 2010 from a hotel room. And 2012, 2013, it stared me in the face. Like, how am I going to do this? And then I started feeling fear, and I'm not good enough, and I don't even know how to write, and how's this all going to happen? And Dr. Troy said, hey, I'll help you out. Let's just do this together. He was fully retired at the time. He goes, I'll help you out. And we'll see where this goes. And now I'm on a podcast with you, and we're driving a bus around the country collecting dreams. Craziest thing ever.
You're the ULA seeker, and Dr. Troy, you're the ULA guru. So let's hear from your point of view. How did it all get started?
Well, the ULA guru is kind of like tongue in cheek, but when we wrote the first book, we told it from two perspectives. And I think it's important to go back, especially for your listeners. We just sat down basically and stepped outside of the chaos of life once a year and looked at our life, and not just in the traditional markers of money and business, but in the 7 key areas. Because you can have all the money you want, you can have a successful business, but if your key relationships are struggling, you're struggling with a teenage kid or your wife or your husband or a family member, or if your health is bad, or if you're mad at God or you're faithless, you have no sense of purpose, or you're not even having joy, even though you have an amazing business and a lot of money, that's not ULA. So this whole ULA thing is redefining what success is. It's living a life of less stress, one that's balanced, one that's directly connected to your unique purpose. And when he called me, in my mind, because you see the posts on Facebook and you see the Christmas cards, everyone's smiling, you think things are great. So I was shocked that he went from this point to this point. And I remember saying one thing that if someone listening is struggling, they need to hear this today. And that's when Dave called me in that moment, that was simply where he was. It wasn't who he was. The core principle of ULA is we're all designed by God for something great, not something average, not something mediocre, not something okay, not something you can tolerate, but for greatness. And that's inside of him. The problem was he couldn't see it because he was getting divorce papers and they were picking up and repossessing his car and they were shutting down his business and his phone was ringing with creditors and his kids were confused with this divorce. So he couldn't even see that greatness anymore. So all we're asking people to do, and I don't care if it's like in your case, Sharon, where you think you're retired, you're not even, you're just getting warmed up. This is just like the next chapter because I found that out when I retired. But it's like wherever you are in life, there's something more. And we're asking people to step outside of that and just say, I can do more. And uniquely to you, the other core part of ULA, we want to remind people that they don't have to settle for average. They're built for something better than that if they can take away the clutter of what's throwing their life out of balance. But their ULA is their ULA. You mentioned the bus, and I'm sure we'll talk about it, but we've been to 42 states. That bus is 21 layers thick in handwritten dreams. And the thing we notice as people write their dreams, although we're a lot alike, we're a lot different. The goals and the financial goal, some people want to be a multimillionaire. Some people just want to have enough money to pay the bills. Some people want to have 8 kids. Some people want no kids. Some people want to be a stay-at-home mom. Some people want to be a working mom. We don't judge any of that. Like, everyone has a unique design. Boldly be that. That's all it is like, don't be who your mom wants you to be, your high school counselor wants you to be, who society wants you to be. You have unique skills, gifts, and abilities. Tap into that and make that happen. And that's why ULA, I think, has taken off. It's not about two guys and I was successful and, you know, whatever. It's about, hey, you're built to be successful. Mm-hmm. In a unique way. Don't try to follow my 28 steps to be successful. Just step outside of it and go, what would I want for my, if I could dream to be fit, what would that look like and feel like? If in personal finance, for me, what is my big dream? What about a family life? What would that look and feel like? And then actively take steps toward that every day.
Well, thank you. And on top of that, one of the whole issues behind Play Big Movement was the challenge that I had to be more vulnerable, to be more open about the things that happened in my life. And so Dr. Dave, I think I want to ask you about that because that you pretty much have laid it all out as to what you went through and the pain that you went through. And I think being vulnerable like that has helped really draw so many people to your message because they see and they relate to something. But how did that feel? Did you have a resistance about sharing the things that you went through?
You know, I think if you go back into like any time prior to 1990, maybe even 2000, being vulnerable wasn't a thing. It's fake it till you make it, you know, and that's the way we were. I would have never, ever told this story. If someone said, you need to sit down and write a book about your divorce and a bankruptcy and losing your cars and going through all that, I would have never said, that sounds awesome. Let me tell that story. I would have never wanted to do that. What happened was to me is when you hit the bottom, and if there's a lesson in that, it's going to come right at the end of this. But when you hit the bottom, there's a point of like, I don't even care anymore. You know what I mean? I just want to get my life back, my kids back on track, get my business back on track. And if this works for me, I will share my shortcomings. I will be vulnerable and share it. I don't care. And when it came time to look at a computer and start typing this story, there were moments where it was like, is this going to make me look bad? Or is this going to make me look dumb? Or is this going to make me look like a failure or whatever? And I kept going back to that moment of like, because I lost everything, because I went through what I went through, I'm just going to do it. And what I realized is that was kind of the start of this anyway, like in the 2000s where being vulnerable and being open and being transparent with who you are is the new way because everybody has their things they're going through behind closed doors. But to be who you want to be and to be who you are, it's really good to just be transparent and be open. And I think the lesson in that is you don't have to hit the bottom in life to start being transparent and open with who you are. I think nowadays it's very easy to say, hey, I'm doing great in my finances. And I'm doing great and having fun, but I'm going to be really honest. Our marriage looks amazing on Facebook. We're struggling. And it's okay to get help, get counseling, get whatever it is. So I feel like we live in such a great time right now because it's okay. And it's not only okay, it's looked upon as like, let's be who we are. And we're all going to go through amazing things in life. And you never know when your life changes instantly with a phone call and you're struggling as a human. We go through good times and bad times, and you start struggling with a human as a human. And it's okay to be surrounded by people that understand who you are at your core and not just who you are on Facebook and Instagram.
Thank you. And I couldn't agree more. And I think it is, there's so many people today that there are still people that have the fake it till you make it. They don't want to share that the fact that they're having struggles in life. But to be so open and honest with it, I think, and maybe it is getting to the very bottom that makes that okay. But it was a struggle for me, and it's been really freeing this year. I really actually feel like I'm back in my groove because I am being open and honest about those things, even though I never really wanted to share it because I didn't want to feel like I was capitalizing on losing my son. But at the same time, being, you don't have that shadow of holding something back, so you can be honest and open about it. So Dr. Troy, talk to me about that phone call that you got from Dr. Dave, having not talked to him for a while, and he'd been so successful. You guys were like you were leading them through success, and then you get the call that his world has turned upside down. Talk a little bit about that.
That was it. I mean, that was the big surprise, is that, you know, you get the Christmas cards, you see the Facebook posts, you just assume everyone's doing great. And it was just such a shock to hear that, because we are very alike in the goals and dreams we have in all these categories. We hit it off, and we became not intern and doctorate, it was friends, you know? So it was like, to hear this and to hear a friend struggle, to be you talk about being vulnerable, to make that phone call and say, here's the reality, this is what's going on. It just hit me like a brick. And that's why it was so important for him to hear that he had support and it's not who he was. This moment will not define him. It's how he responds to it that will define him. And it's just like, everyone, here's the thing, Sharon, we've been on that bus like 21 layers thick and handwritten dreams. We get to have some real conversations with real people. Every single person, if you start laying out those seven categories, no one's got it all figured out. They may be doing great financially, but they have, you know, they're 80 pounds overweight and have hypertension, and they are like they may have a great business, but their marriage is holding on by a thread. They don't even know what joy is. So we're all working on this. And that's what I explained. It's like, everyone's doing this at a different level, but let's just tap into what's broken and what needs to be fixed. And he's like, let's change the world. And that's the other thing too, is like, he goes, yeah, if this works, that'll change the world. I'm like, dude, let's get you out of your mom's car. That's not cool. Let's get you out of the motel in the bad part of town. That's not cool. Let's get you a job and the support that you have a belief in someone again. Because I, at that moment, I knew who he was. He was the same guy to me, talented, inspired, great work ethic, great values. He just went through a rough spot, you know? It's like, let's pull the lesson out of this. Is there anything we can learn from this? Pull the lesson out and push forward. The rest of it, it's rear view mirror. Man, it's just stuff we just look back every now and then just to not do it again. But everything else is focused straight ahead. And then he just dug in and did the work. So the lesson in that, in a culture of quick fixes, people even who follow OOLA, see all, you know, you look at it in 1 year chunks and go, OOLA is just it's on fire. It's like a million people following it. You guys have companies and collaborations, and he hustled, man. Like, he got up early, stayed up late, put a smile on his face, put on his boots, and did the work every single day. So for me, the phone call, I knew what he was capable of. I knew this was just going to be a season. I knew he just needed someone to talk to. And I, in your earlier conversation about vulnerability, I don't outthink vulnerability on a capitalizing on something or not. I think it's like, it's just who we are. I think as a community, I think we've previously set an artificial standard of what success is that nobody can meet. So the world feels like a failure. I think if the world realizes that even the most successful people in life by societal standards struggle and push through anyway, I think that's inspiring. I think that's why, like, you sharing your story, which we had in our second book, by the way, and you opening up about that is a way that will inspire, because you do not get through life without thrown challenges. Some of your own making, some just hits you sideways. We didn't even see it coming, but we all get these things, and it's how we respond to them that matters.
Well, everybody watching this, I think we're going to talk a little bit more about the essence of OOLA, but I think we talked a little bit before we launched the podcast about the fact that a lot of people have good ideas and they can even create their own little coaching practice and grow and be successful. But the two of you actually sought how you could take this message and leverage it in a big way. And everybody watching or listening knows my favorite word on earth is assets. And the second one is royalties. And the third one is leverage. So the two of you have really taken this essence of what you employ in your own life and massively spread it through leverage and through a power of association. So let's talk a little bit about the business model that you use and how you have taken this from this idea and impacting your own life to now millions of people are benefiting from.
I'm going to take it back one step and lead into this because I know Troy has to talk about royalties and leverage. He's shaking right now because this is like his love language. Like you just wrapped him a little present and said, can you talk about royalties and business model? So I'm going to talk now because I'll probably not get a chance to say one more word in this podcast. But the craziest thing in this whole thing, Sharon, again, I'm going to go back to one other thing. Is that we had talked about Ula since 1997, 1998, 1999. Troy found success. I found success. In our hearts, we had talked about, we should share this. We should share this. We were comfortable. Troy was retired. I wasn't retired, but I was comfortable. I had like this big house and a great career. I was comfortable. And no matter how many times we go, man, we should share this. This is a great message. Like there's something in here. We didn't because we were comfortable. And because I lost everything and you're at the bottom, then it's like, you're not comfortable anymore. So I'm going to say one thing, and then I want Troy to take over on the whole business model because he's the business genius behind this. But if you're at home thinking there's something I should do and you feel it in your heart, I'm not saying quit your job today and go do that, pursue that. But we live in a time where you can do both. You can have a job and you can start building on what your passions are and over a 2 to 3 year period, turn it into something that you do full time. That's the business of Ula where it started. Where Ula started was, let's just start sharing this. I feel like I need to start sharing this finally because I've wanted to do it for 15 years and I made too much money to care. And now that I have nothing left, I just want to do it. If you feel like you need to do it, do it. Like do it. And how you do it is you hustle. You don't need as much sleep for 2 years. You can work your normal day job. You can tuck your kids to bed or tuck your kids in bed. And then you can start working on your second business or your second passions. That's how the start of Ula was. So if you look at the start of Ula, it was 20-hour days for a year or two. And then we started turning into a more of a lifestyle brand. The biggest thing is Troy was always like, the first 10,000 books was a picture of his back of his head because he didn't want to come out of retirement. He didn't want people to know who he was. So the business model of it was, is it's never going to be about Troy and I. It's always going to be about Ula. That was always a thing. It's a lifestyle brand about Ula and helping people live their Ula life. Troy, take it away. And Sharon, it was great talking to you.
I'm still in awe of her favorite words. I would just add perpetuity royalty. I would add the word perpetuity in front of royalty. Other than that, I love them. But for me, like the business model of Ula, I think that the irony is our lifestyle we advocate is a lifestyle of balance. But to gain, this is the part in business that entrepreneurs need to understand, to gain a lifetime imbalance, you very likely will need to throw a season or two out of balance. So it's not like you take your day and divide it by seven and spend 3 hours and 25 minutes on the treadmill, 3 hours and 25 minutes at work, and 3 hours and 25 minutes with your spouse. If you are a startup, if you have a message, if you have this, and you're an entrepreneur, you may have a season, which we define as 3 years, where it can be, we think of that circus performer that spins plates. You know, seven plates are spinning, and the goal is to keep them all spinning without crashing and hit the floor. For 3 years, in this case, you may have the business plate, the field plate spinning, but the rest of them may be wobbling. Just don't let them hit the floor. The other real big business tip that we've had the pleasure of doing, and even young entrepreneurs, I think it's a great idea, is stay principled to the core belief that of why you started what you started. We have said no way, 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 way more times than we've said yes to collaborations because we believe in life balance. And it's not just cashing a check. We just said no last month to a guaranteed minimum of 10,000 plus a month on a product, you know, probably a lot more than that, that just wasn't in line with our beliefs just because they wanted to put our name on it. And we do that stuff routinely because at the end of the day, we want a product or a collaboration that does two things. Number one, it's good for the people. It's like it's healthy because that's what we advocate. It also needs to perpetuate our message. It needs to reach an audience. They need to see the word Ula that wouldn't have seen it otherwise. So then they Google the word Ula and go, that's interesting. I can be a better husband, a better wife. I can do it. You know, they become a better human being, which is the goal is we want to change the world with this word Ula. So the irony is I think in business, you're so in that hustle mode, you want to say yes to everything. There's power in saying no. And that's what we've done is any collaboration we've done, we've been very calculated. Even podcasts we go on, you know, we don't say yes to every podcast because it's not a good audience for us. It's not a good use of time, whatever. But the business when Dave approached me about telling the story, it was telling a story. This was never something we sat around a boardroom and said, you know what, let's make a business of Ula. The first book took off. The original publishers of Chicken Soup for the Soul heard about it. We did a 3-book deal with them. Then we had this crazy idea of getting a bus. Now think about this year. This is where things have changed with social media. And like talk about vulnerabilities now okay. It wasn't okay in 1985. If we sat around a boardroom and say, I have an idea. Let's buy a 1970 VW bus that goes 55 miles an hour, that's held together with duct tape, and let's put stickers on it and see what happens. We just did it because we cared about people, and not everyone could go to our events or not everyone could read the book. And we truly were that passionate in our hearts that we want everyone to understand their design by God for greatness. And we want them to reconnect it. If the only thing they did is reconnected to one dream in their life in one of these categories, we could roll down the road smiling, knowing we made an impact on that person. So that was the whole thing. There was never like, oh, maybe we can put a bus on a tea company and make a bunch of, never thought of it. What we thought about is the people we're meeting and the people we're serving. So for us, we really come at business from a service point of view. To me, money is value. Like if we give someone the value in a message or in a product, they give us thank you notes in the form of dollar bills in something that's, so we've never really, when I was younger, I didn't do this, but now it's just like, what does the world need? What has value? What gets the word Ula out there? And we'll look at those opportunities.
And you've done that. I mean, you've done that beautifully. And people keep, and I think we need to underline that you said you don't take every opportunity. That's very important because in order for you to maintain quality in the brand, you need to make sure that it is aligned with your philosophy and what you want. Even though you have separate companies, we talked about this a little bit earlier, where you've got one that's with the essential oils, you've got one for your teas, and then of course your core messaging is something that the two of you maintain control over, but you control quality with everybody else. And that's very important when we talk about leveraging, because when you leverage through association, you still need to maintain the quality of the brand. And I think you guys are just a perfect example for people. So Troy, let me play devil's advocate here, because you've been talking, it sounds like you've never had a low point in your life because you've been the Mr. Ula Guru. So tell me a little bit about Troy that we don't know.
I've had low points in every single one of these categories. I will just never write about it. So when we wrote the book, that was kind of the initial book was Ula Guru, Ula Seeker. I say tongue in cheek Ula Guru, because here's the reality. It teaches a story. It's the true stories, but it teaches lessons. It shows kind of two viewpoints. But we talked about this in the beginning. In the beginning, when we wrote the book, I could go down those 7 categories and tell stories about my struggles in each category. And Dave could go and write about his successes in the 7 categories. He would be the guru. I'd be the seeker. You could do the same. You could go in all 7 categories. This is my financial win. This is my relational win. This is the moment I had true joy. But then we could go and flip it and go, okay, tell me your struggle in each category. That's why I believe the book is so relatable, because people see themselves in all of these. We all have seasons. And we all are, sometimes you're going through a seeker season. Sometimes you're going through a guru season. Mm-hmm. But the reality is nobody gets through this thing unscathed. I mean, it's just, again, how you respond to it. If you're going through one of those struggles, go, this isn't who I am. This is just where I am. Now, how do I move from this point to where I'm designed to be?
Yeah, I like that. It's not who you are, but where you are. And I think I love something that one of your quotes that I said is, don't be afraid of losing people. Be afraid of losing yourself by trying to please everyone around you. And I think that you guys also epitomize that by striking out and living the life that you chose to live and designing it so that you have that ability to have all 7 categories in sync most of the time. So as we all know, life goes up and down. So if somebody wants to learn more about Ula or the two of you, what best ways can they find you?
Go ahead, Troy.
Probably a good starting point is ulalife.com. And the cool thing about that is if you scroll down, there's a free life balance test. A lot of people get overwhelmed with this thing called life. They're like, I'm feeling this thing. It doesn't feel right. It doesn't feel like I'm in my spot where I'm supposed to be, but I don't even know where to start. So they can answer 21 questions, and it pops up this wheel that shows them where they're low. And that's like, okay, that's a good starting point. There's also some free resources on how to set goals properly in a way that you can achieve them. Like, how do I get from here to here? And then all of the social media content is there as well. So you can follow Dave or I on social, on Facebook or Instagram, and Ula Life. There's a community of people. Dave mentioned it earlier. I think the cool thing about Ula, it's not about Dave, it's not about me. It's about a community of people that have different goals and dreams, but still love and support each other in whatever they're pursuing. And you mentioned that, and that's worth repeating too, Sharon, as we see how things have changed over time, is that Ula is about you authentically living. You got to really step back and go, really, what do I want? Like, what am I built for? Because we have all of this internal language we've had from elementary school, from middle school, from Googling which job makes the most money, to what, you know, to our friends and neighbors, to social media, that have pushed us in a path of convenience or a path of just where you happen to be. If you could step out of that, who am I built to be? That's what Ula asks people, is like, who am I authentically? If I could, I may be in this job now, which is fine, but if I could transition into something amazing, what would that be? My relationship may look and feel like this now, but what would I really like? That's really the key, is like, who do you want to be, and go and get that. And the resources on UlaLife.com has that.
It's a beautiful site. I recommend everybody go visit UlaLife.com. It's beautifully put together, and it does have tremendous free resources. So the two of you are going to stay with me for a little additional personal interview that's going to go into the private Facebook Live, the Play Big Movement with Sharon Lecter. And I'm so thrilled you were with me today, and thank you so much. And everybody, I want you to I hope you've had your pad and pencil. If not, hit rewind and go back and watch this again, because these guys are real champions, and they are such incredible examples of people who are living the Play Big Movement. Number one in your field. You guys created your own field, and that's what I love so much about it. You're living your legacy, and you're creating maximum impact. So thank you both for being with me. And for those of you watching and listening, go into that private Facebook group so you can hear the rest of the story. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you for listening to this segment of the Play Big Movement podcast. Please subscribe to iTunes and leave us a review, as well as join us in other areas of social media, Twitter, Instagram, and LinkedIn at Sharon Lecter, and for Facebook, author Sharon Lecter. Thank you so much, and have a fabulous day.